Sunday morning begins out here in the oil patch, a few minutes before dawn, with a young roughneck stretched out and sleeping hard in his pickup truck. Shoulders pressed against the driver's side door, boots propped up on the dashboard, he wears his cowboy hat pulled down far enough that the girl sitting outside on the dusty ground can see only his pale jaw. Freckled and nearly hairless, it is a face that will never need a daily shave, no matter how old he gets. But she is hoping he dies young. Gloria Ramirez holds herself perfectly still. She is a downed mesquite branch, a half-buried stone. And she imagines him face down in the dust, lips and cheeks scoured by sand, his thirst relieved only by the blood in his mouth. When he startles and shifts roughly against the truck door, she holds her breath and watches his jaw clench, the muscle working bone against bone. The sight of him is a torment, and she wishes again that his death will come soon, that it will be vicious and lonely, with nobody to grieve for him. The sky turns purple in the east, then blue-black, then old bucket slate. In a few minutes, it will be stained orange and red, and if she looks, Gloria will see the land stretched tight beneath the sky, brown stitched to blue, same as always. It is a sky without end, and the best thing about West Texas, when you can remember to look at it. She will miss it when she goes, because she can't stay here. Not after this. She keeps her eyes on the pickup truck, and her fingers begin to press themselves lightly against the sand, counting 1, 2, 3, 4. They are trying to keep her from making any sudden moves, to keep her quiet, to keep her among the living for another day. Because Gloria Ramirez might not know much on this morning, February 15th, 1976. But she knows this. If he hadn't passed out before he sobered up enough to find his gun or get his hands around her throat, she would already be dead. 52, 53, 54. She waits and watches, listens as some little animal moves through the mesquite, and the sun, that small, regular mercy, heaves itself over the earth's edge and hangs burning in the east. And her fingers keep on. Daylight reveals miles of pump jacks and oilfield litter, jackrabbits and barbed wire fences, clumps of mesquite trees and buffalo grass. In piles of caliche and stacks of old pipeline, rat snakes and copperheads and rattlers lie entwined, their breath slow and regular, waiting for spring. When morning has come all the way in, she sees a road and behind that, a farmhouse. It may be close enough to walk to, but it's hard to say. Out here, 1 mile can look like 10. 10 could be 20. And she knows only that this body, yesterday she would have called it mine, sits in a pile of sand somewhere in the oil patch, too far from town to see the water tank with her town's name painted on the side, Odessa, or the bank building, or the cooling towers at the petrochemical plant where her mother works. Soon, Alma will come home from a night spent cleaning offices and brake shacks. When she steps into the one-bedroom apartment that still smells of last night's hominy and pork and Tio's cigarettes, when she sees that the sofa bed where Gloria sleeps is still made up from the day before, Alma might feel worried, maybe even a little afraid. But mostly, she will be pissed off that her daughter is not home where she belongs, again. Gloria scans the pump jacks moving up and down. Great steel grasshoppers, always hungry. Did he drive them as far as Penwell? Mentone? Loving County? Because the Permian Basin is 80,000 square miles of the same old, and she could be anywhere. And the only two things are her thirst and pain, and the roughneck's occasional sighs, his teeth grinding and body shifting, the click and hum of the pump jack just a few yards away from where she sits.